are continuing a series of one another, a relationship series for the summer. And this is a good place to be, because this is where we interface with each other and with God's word, and you will leave here encouraged. It's my belief. Whether you're here or online, thank you so much for being with us. Our series began when Pastor Tara talked about us as individuals and encouraging us to develop habits of love. Then Pastor BT focused us on our relationship with God and reminded us that Jesus is the key. We continued with Pastor Nick and talking about our relationship as children to parents and the importance of honor in everything that we do. Most recently, we talked about how we relate with children and the power that can be in words that give life to those who are coming up behind us. And today we're looking at aging parents, at ways in which to give back. And I'm going to propose the possibility of treating each other like royalty. I was talking to my mom and giving her fair warning about what I was going to be talking about today, and she got this worried look on her face as the topic was sinking in and realizing that she might be the focus of a lot of illustrations. But then she kind of brightened up and she said, "Well, I guess it's going to be okay because you're aging too." So she was right. But that's the way my mom is. She has the ability to find a silver lining. And that's been a value that she has passed on as I have tried to have a similar approach to life. But I'd like for you to consider those that have gone before you. It may be a parent, it may be somebody else in that generation, and wisdom that you have received from them. And there may be something that comes to your mind that you could share with the person sitting next to you to be an encouragement to both of you as you think about how there's been this generational enrichment. Just take a couple of minutes to share with the person next to you about a wisdom. I love to hear the evidence of all of the wisdom that is represented here. And we are indebted to those that have gone before us. And it seems that speaking about relationship with aging parents is relevant. I was tagged for this because I'm at that point in my life where my wife and I are in relationship with aging parents. And we, between the two of us, have buried 5 parents and step-parents. We have 1 mother left. But we live in an area that was made famous by Mr. Dan Buettner in this article of National Geographic, came out in 2005, and he talked about Loma Linda, California, of all things, and this crazy group of people called Seventh-day Adventists that were part of a blue zone, which means that Seventh-day Adventists had been shown to statistically live longer than the general population. Now, my dad was a doctor and taught preventive health. He loved to do health education, and he had a man come up to him and tell him, he says, "We don't live longer, it just feels like it after we quit doing everything that you tell us that we have to quit doing." But we do enjoy longevity. That is a privilege, but for many people it can become a burden. I have represented here some assistive devices known as durable medical equipment, and my wife and I have accumulated these as we have cared for aging parents, and they're reminders of loss of capacity. And that's a reality, and that's a challenge for those that are at the age where there are those losses, and they can be challenges is for those that are providing that care. And I recognize in bringing this up that there's the risk of creating burdens. I talked about this with my mother in advance. As I said, if I talk about how hard it is sometimes to be a caregiver, is that going to make you feel badly? And I know that there still are those phone calls that begin with, "I hate to bother you." And so we have this dynamic of challenges on both sides of the equation. And we look and we live in a society that tends to want to fight against growing old. As I was coming out here, even in the way in which we use our humor, the one thing that the devil wanted me to have on my mind was that, "Steve, you're going to have a senior moment." It's just... it's that I was going to be here and forget what the next thing was. But we describe things like this and we attribute that to old age, and it's in a disparaging way. Even in our humor, we can become disparaging. And we look at these losses, and the slide here is a reminder of my friend Marilyn, who in introducing this song one day as I was behind her in a praise band was saying, "This song now has different meaning for me because my father was recently diagnosed with dementia and he doesn't know who I am anymore." And we have this emotional turmoil as we want to be celebrating length of life, but looking at the changes that are taking place, and changes that are taking place on both sides. My grandmother would say, even as she was passing her 100th year of life, "I'm not old, I've just lived longer than most." And so... But we want to try and protect ourselves from what could become the inevitable, and want to hide the difficulties. Even in this slide, which is somewhat humorous, we see the challenges that come from old age, and we try to do some reframing and to change what is going on. And this can isolate us as we try to not let people know how tough things are. Now, I don't want us all going around whining about what's happening. I don't know that church would be a very good place to be. But in terms of the isolation, now we can be in the middle of community, but feel all alone because we're not talking about what is going on. And I think we need a place where we can have discussion, where we can have open honesty, where there is not shame attached to whatever our bodies or our minds are doing with us, and there's not shame attached to the sacrifices that are given or to the challenges that we feel as we meet those challenges. Now, I will confess that being assigned this topic has made me a better son, because there are some things that I have been able to do to really confront what is happening in my life and to ask God to help me do some of healthy reframing in terms of how I relate to now my mom. So I'm glad you're here, Mom. I'm glad you're here to hold me accountable to what I'm going to be saying as well. But as I look at some of the challenges I was experiencing, I realized that it had a lot to do with a matter of perspective. So my perspective as a child of my parent is that my first memory of my dad is when he was invincible. He was full of energy. I thought as a child he could do anything, he knew everything, and then I became a teenager and knew differently than that. But it's at the beginning, the memory was of vitality. And then I saw that vitality at the end of his life was taken away from him. I don't believe that's what God has designed for us in creation. But in this world that we currently live in, those are the patterns that we see. So my parents' memory of me begins with me not being able to do anything. You know, I was a tremendous amount of work for them. And yet from the parents' perspective, we pour all of this energy into the child with great joy. But we live in community now where we don't see that joy demonstrated at the other end of life. You know, we're experiencing it all as loss. And I don't believe that we should minimize the loss that is associated with that. But for me personally, in my journey, I've been wondering, could I reframe this and recapture more of the blessing and more of the pleasures that there are here? And this is going two ways. When we look at the challenges of the relationship with aging, we recognize that there are challenges that are being faced on the aging side. There are challenges that are faced on those that are supporting that. And so we can be open about that, and we can own those, because as we protect ourselves from that, that is where this isolation comes that I was talking about. But the community that I envisioned that would be most healthy for this would be the same kind of community that raises a child, that where we say, you know, it is a village that raises a child. And in the same way, it is a village that continues to support us at the end of life. And it's kind of as if, you know, Azure Hills, at its very best, could be a place where we live by God's grace, where we grow in love, where we're a voice of hope to those who need that. You know, wouldn't that be a great place for Azure Hills? well, that's what we have already chosen to be, isn't it? To be this place where not only our children are safe and supported, but as we come to the other end of life, that we are continuing to be safe and supported. It's important that we take advantage of the resources around us. And I confess that until I received this assignment, I had not taken advantage of many of these resources. But I found this book by Virginia Morris. It's How to Care for Aging Parents. And it is an encyclopedia of information about caregiving as well as the aging process and things that can be done to make this as successful as possible. And because she has lists and I love lists, I wanted to just share one of those lists, which are things that can help to protect a healthy mindset. And while this is specifically targeted to caregivers, it is also applicable to all of us. Where she says, take five, keep a friend, get support, avoid the I shoulds, be willing to shift gears, to eat well, it's okay to sweat a little, she's talking about exercise, get those Z's, pursue a hobby, stay spiritually connected, relax and laugh. Now these are good ideas for all of us, whether we have aging parents or not. And in fact, the principles that I have been testing over the last few weeks as I was preparing to share this morning, they are principles that are applicable to any relationship that is experiencing increasing demands. And you may find, and it can be from either side of that relationship. You may be the one that is finding yourself in greater need of assistance, or you may be the one that is finding yourself being asked for more. And it can be with time, with energy, with advice. It can be emotional demands. It can be from all kinds of different directions. And while this topic is revolving around caregiving, because we are here in worship, it's really imperative for me that we find some foundation in God's word that gives us hope and strength relative to this topic. And I was surprised where I found my strength for this. It was in Psalm 72. I hope that you have a Bible with you. If not, there will be words on the screen, but it's really important for me that you hold God's word and that you wrestle and test it and experience it for yourself. Because for me, that's where my blessings have come with this, is in my own journey. But Psalm 72 is written for a new king. And it appears because of the very last verse in this psalm that this very well could have been written by Solomon's father, David. David is at the end of his life. We could say he's in the aging parent category. There's someone coming up behind him who is in need of a lot of help. David knows what's in store for Solomon, or potentially in store, and so he asks God to bless his son. And we find these words at the beginning of the psalm. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness and your afflicted ones with justice. David has been on this road ahead of his son. He is anticipating that Solomon will need additional assistance. And David prays for the exact things that Solomon is going to be using. Notice how he asks God for justice and righteousness, because justice and righteousness are going to be part of what Solomon is providing. Now, as I was finding strength in this this psalm, I quickly realize that I'm not a king. I do not have a kingdom. But I am in a position as a caregiver that is new for me. And it is a position that is asking, that is making demands of me. And that I can turn to my Heavenly Father and ask Him for exactly what I need. This is something that is extremely important for me, that David, in being ahead of Solomon, was providing for his son so that his son could then turn around and provide provisions. And I was reminded of this dynamic of being indebted to those that come before this last week as I was on a hike. I came across a sign that was giving me directions. I had a choice between going to Mono Pass or going to Ruby Lake. I was hiking in the High Sierras, and I was looking at the fact that I bumped something. I was looking at the reality that I would never be able to get to the destination that I wanted. Thank you. I was not going to make it to my destination without the work that had been done in front of me. There are people that had made the trails, there are people that had marked the trails, and there's no way that I would have made it to 12,000 feet that day without somebody having been there before me. And so in this dynamic of giving and receiving between parent and child, we have this recognition of the indebtedness that we have to those that have been before us. And the psalm continues by identifying the wonderful things that the king is going to do to be a blessing. And he says, may he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. I'm in verse 4. And may he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun and as long as the moon through all generations. And may he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. A couple of things strike me here. One is the position of strength that the king is expected to reign from. That he's going to be defending, he's going to be crushing, he's going to be enduring. We have these very powerful words that are being used. But he's doing this on behalf of those in great need. But verses 6 and 7 talk about this flourishing and enduring till the moon is no more. And one version I was reading, it talked about how it would be until the moon fell from the sky. And I really liked that imagery. So we have this possibility. As I was connecting to this verse, I was realizing that there is this position of strength and abundance that is being talked about here, where there will always be enough. It's kind of like this next picture that you see, of always having enough. Now, this we're not talking about money here, are we? What I realized is that I'm really talking about a mindset. How am I approaching the responsibilities and the relationship that I have? We're looking at a way of approaching life that says, everything's going to be okay, everything will be provided. In little things like the amount of time I have. So, Mom, you need to hear this in the right perspective. But I will confess that there was a time when I would visit you and I would wish that you would hurry up. So she's really not as fast as she used to be. But I realized that if I approached visiting her, understanding that I had all the time in the world, it really changed my experience. Rather than looking at, you know, how much time do I have? How much time do I have? It was like, I have all the time in the world. So I just made this one little mental shift to one coming from my perspective, from one of abundance rather than of limitations. And it made a very big difference. And I've realized that I can approach that from many other different ways. If I reframe myself from feeling like I'm beginning this relationship or beginning this challenge from a deficit, and maybe that requires that I stop and pray to do something to reconnect with a source that is bigger than me. Maybe it means reaching out to somebody, to take advantage of a friend or a support group. But we have this ability to not be in this by ourselves, that there's more available to us. The psalm continues, going back to where we were with our scripture reading. It says, he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will have pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Now, I chose this passage for the scripture reading for two reasons. One is, it is in this passage that we have the Hebrew word for redeemer that shows up. And in the New International Version, it's translated rescue. In some of your Bibles, it may say redeem. But this idea of redeemer, the one that would save from slavery and oppression, the word that is attributed to Messiah, and it shows up in the book of Ruth in very beautiful ways. But this word is being used here. And I realize that as I have made application of this psalm to me as a caregiver, and the psalm being written for a king, but perhaps we're really talking about our Redeemer in terms of who he is for us. The second thing that I chose this passage for is the word precious. There is this mindset that in looking at those who have little capacity, that group of people or that individual is seen as precious. And I want to protect that perspective in my relationship with my mom. In fact, wouldn't it be wonderful if that would be my perspective in any relationship that I have? If I was looking at you as precious, if I could have the confidence that I am looked at as precious, because that is how God looks at us. We are precious. That is the reality, is that we are. He has declared it, that we are precious. And to be able to know that, again, experiencing this runs two ways, and we can easily resist that. We can resist that when we need help, because we tend to feel inadequate when we need help, and we lose that sense of preciousness. And we who are offering help can remember that vulnerability so that we make it easy for the other individual to feel precious. Or those of us on the giving side can also begin to feel like maybe we're not as precious. It's the fatigue, it's the emotional drain, it's wondering, you know, what did we ever do to deserve this? There are lots of things that can happen in relationship that are tough. And I don't want to minimize the challenges that there are in aging or in those that are supporting the aging, but neither do I want to remove prove the blessings that continue through this. And as I began to consider the reasons why my mother is precious, I found that the list was really long. And I was more and more grateful that we have her. She suffered a stroke a year and a half ago, and that she is still with us is pretty amazing. That she is still functioning as strong as she is a true miracle. I saw the CAT scans. I listened to the neurologist tell us what we could expect. And what we have with you, Mom, is so much more than that. But for each of us, we're each living miracles, and to be able to be treated as that is such a privilege. And I realized that in a kind of final application of this passage that was written for a king, that I could treat my mom like royalty. Now this comes, again, from two different perspectives. The first being is that I can treat my mom as if I was the king. Now, this is not about my ego, but it's about my understanding that the king in this passage had everything he needed for the situation. And so if I'm treating my mom like royalty, I am the one who is confident that I will have enough for her. Whatever that is. And for what is truly necessary, God has promised that we will have enough. The second way in which I can treat my mother as royalty is to make her the queen. And I think she really likes me calling her Your Majesty. But when I look at her as valuable and precious, when I remember that, about everything, when that is foremost, it has improved my quality of life. It is, I believe, will improve your quality of life, and you can still test me on this as we continue. This has been my journey through this psalm. I am not the model for you. I want you to be able to do your own wrestling and make this your own passage of strength. Because I recognize that in this congregation, we come with so many different relationships. Some of us have lost our parents prematurely. Others of us have never known our parents. We have really lousy relationships with our parents. There's so many different circumstances that we have. Others are very close, we're disconnected, we're separated by distance. So I would be presumptuous to try and tell you what your relationship with your parent should look like. But I believe that God desires that whatever it is, that it can be more, that it can be better, and for us to have some anticipation for that. This psalm, as it ends, turns back to the real focus of this psalm. In verse 18, it says, "Praise be to Yahweh, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous things." You see, this really isn't about us who are caregivers. It's not about those who are receiving the care. It's not really about that, but it's about our Heavenly Father, who is over all and who has provided all and allows us to remember today that we have a Father. He calls us His own. He knows our name and hears us when we call.